Enteita Orlando, people Zimbabwe, Moshe Moria Zimbabwe, Chagaza Moshe Zimbabwe, Moshe, everybody tuning in right now, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Moria Zimbabwe. If you're tuning in right now, you're tuned in to Live Talk at The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth-related, brought to you by Studio 7, a voice of America, Moria Zimbabwe. Namhlanje, today is Tuesday, April 26th. 2022. Chagaza Moshe, Zimbabwe Moshe. If you're tuning in right now, you're tuned in to Live Talk, The Connection. And I'm your host, Mike Hore. Once again, Moria Zimbabwe, welcome. We welcome you to Live Talk, The Connection, Studio 7's very own youth program that targets tackling anything and everything youth related. We're coming to you from my apartment in Washington, D.C. Now, tonight on The Connection, Moria Zimbabwe, we're going to be speaking to youth about Zimbabwe's voter registration program. Now, there's several different youth-led organizations that are running a voter education programs, educating especially the youth of the nation on the importance of partaking in the registration program, and of course, ensuring that they go out on voting day, especially in 2023, to go out and get their voices heard by casting their ballots. However, the conversation is not just going to be ending there, Moria Zimbabwe. Namhlanje kuhlelo lethu labasakhulayo, tonight on Live Talk, The Connection, we're also going to be focusing on empowerment programs that are there in Zimbabwe that target uplifting rural women and rural youth. Asakanjiwe ngathi nayo, nasi njonga chelu chewe chidiki Moria Zimbabwe, lingakhohlwa ukuthi sikhuluma nje. We're broadcasting on our three Facebook pages, sikhona ku BOA Ndebele, VOA Studio 7, Daniela will VOA Shona Moria Zimbabwe. So as we speak, unfortunately, tonight's program is a pre-recorded broadcast, but we are available on our three Facebook pages as we speak, VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and of course, VOA Studio 7. So do not forget, Moria Zimbabwe, to press the like button so that we see what is the song and of course, most importantly, do not forget to put your comments and press the share button so that we can watch the program in our numbers. For our YouTube fanatics, Moria Zimbabwe, we're also broadcasting on YouTube as we speak. Our official page is at VOA Zimbabwe. I repeat, at VOA Zimbabwe. So for those that love watching programs on YouTube, we're available there. You can share the program and, of course, put your comments in the comments section. And just like Facebook, you can like it too. For everybody that likes consuming our programs on our three websites, we're also broadcasting on our three websites as we speak, that being voaindividual.com, www.voashana.com, and www.voazimbabwe.com. So that's where we're broadcasting this program as we speak, Moria Zimbabwe. For everybody that looks to watch the program aside from listening to it on radio, we're available on our three Facebook pages, VOA Shana, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. We're available on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe, and of course, we're available on our three web pages, www.voaindividual.com, www.voashana.com, and www.voazimbabwe.com. So, Lina Koti Zulugandaba, once again, press the like button. We from Tornos, I was with Chopadi Moria Zimbabwe. To Tornos, this is something like so, and I've been Sagazin with Studio 7. And also, feel free to drop your comments in the comment section so that we get to see your feedback, and most importantly, share the program with your networks. Now, usually we like to start off our program with an update on COVID-19 statistics in Zimbabwe, but unfortunately, by the time we had to record this pre-recorded broadcast, the latest COVID-19 stats were yet to be released by Zimbabwe's Ministry of Health and Childcare. So, without wasting time, let us delve into our discussion. First up, a discussion on Zimbabwe's voter registration program. Now, Zimbabwe's voter registration programs have been open to the public over the past couple of months, especially as Zimbabwe ran up to the most recently held by-elections. These programs were open to the public for people to go out there and register to vote to make sure that for those that had an election in the by-elections, they had their voices heard in terms of picking their councillors and in terms of course, picking their members of parliament. Now, the program is still ongoing in different phases as Zimbabwe gears up for the 2023 general elections. But now, youth-led organizations have taken it upon themselves are to educate the public on the importance of these voter registration programs and, of course, the importance of partaking in these programs and then making sure that come 2023, you go out there and cast your ballot. But one thing that's been highlighted by these youth-led organizations is that young people in Zimbabwe are faced by a range of challenges that is hindering them from wanting to partake in these voter registration programs. Now, one organization, the National Movement of Catholic Students of Zimbabwe, recently had a chat on voter registration and youth partaking in democracy. Now, this chat is an hour long, so to watch the full clip, you're going to have to head over to their Facebook page. However, for the purposes of tonight's discussion, we've extracted 6 minutes with their permission, whereby youth are focusing specifically on the voter registration program and, of course, the challenges that youth are facing that is hindering them from wanting to partake in this program in the first place. So let's head over to that chat. And again, to watch the full hour chat, head over to their Facebook page, the National Movement of Catholic Students of Zimbabwe.
We pray as students, we register, we vote. But as long as we don't count the votes, we are doing something that is useless. We discuss these things as youth. We raise our issues. But as long as there are some popular beings in the society, we have the final say on whatever we discuss. This is useless. We can participate, we can tolerate each other, but as long as people who openly declare that they support a particular individual or a particular party are abducted and are beaten by unknown people, this is what we are doing. We go out there as youth. We ask each other, did you register to vote? The answer that you get is, why should I? Because voting is useless. Okay. So, I think to the panelists, I want to hear something of substance from you. I want to hear something of substance. Which, what is it? What is the white elephant in the room that we have to deal with as youth? It's not just as youth in this at this conference or in the country, but at a bigger stage, at a bigger step in life. Because at the end of the day, we see that it's always the youth who are victims, who raise these issues, but what changes? Nothing, because it's useless. So say something of substance about that issue. Thank you.
Strong words, so to say. But I'm sure these guys can enlighten to say it is not all useless and not all in vain. Because if we then deem it useless, why then should we exist at the end of the day? So I'll give it to you first.
I can give a good example of an election that happened in Zambia, where we have seen a change of government. A ruling party loses to opposition and then they came into power. And they've seen the power of young people uniting for a common cause. I've seen youth fighting with an official from Zambia who was trying to steal the election. And then they said, no, we don't want it. This is impossible. So we are saying, yes, young people, let's not have negative perception about everything before we try it. Look what happened in 2008. Zanu PF lost elections to MDC, which was led by the late Dr. Morgan Tsvangirai. So if these parties really mean business when it comes to mobilization of youth, participate to register to vote. Anything is possible.
If we don't register to vote, who benefits? Mm-hmm. It's the ruling party. Mm-hmm. Because they're already in power. If they send out the narrative that if you vote, elections will be rigged or elections will be stolen. It's them that benefit because they are already in power. If they portray that image that if you participate in politics or governance, you'll be abducted, it's them that benefit. So it's our duty as young people to say that once those narratives are sent, they will demoralize us to from getting the desired change or from getting what we intend to see in our society. So they benefit from the apathy, they benefit from you not registering, from you not convincing the other people to register to vote, from you not standing up on the election day to vote and to defend your vote. As young people, we need to stand up in solidarity with each other. If I'm abducted or if I'm taken, you have to stand up for me as a young person. Stand in my shoes, feel for me, and speak out. You can do whatever you can to stand to speak out for me. For example, if I'm taken, you can use a social media platform to denounce that. Unlike just being passive, let's not create a politics where it's us versus them. It's us, the young people, versus the old. So if we maybe create a generational consensus in between us, where we will make sure that every young person is protected, regardless of their political party, let's not be tools that are used for violence. Because if you look at it well, political violence is sponsored by young people. For example, the Kwekwe incident, most of the people who were accused were young people, fighting the apartheid other young people or fighting a political party, maybe for some $5 or for some, maybe a bottle of super or something. So let's not be used as tools of political violence. Let's stand up for each other. Let's have a generational consensus. Let's stand up as young people and remove the polarization that stands. To address what you were saying, nothing is useless in participating in governance. We really need to, and we really need to take up the space and claim our space. Because if we don't, the old will benefit. Those who are already benefiting are already benefiting. And they'll continue sending the narrative such that they push us away from participating in governance. So it's us who need to teach others and us who need to find a conviction within ourselves that we need to participate, that we need change. And by whichever means, we need to defend our vote. We need to make sure that if I vote, my vote is counted, my vote is heard.
Well, Moria Zimbabwe, hearing there from the youth, abasha bayathathisa ngempela abahlangana lapho okumayelana ngohlelo lokubhalisela ukuyovota besithi hayi kule nkinga kule ngxaki ezijiyeneyo that is hindering them bona njengabantu abasakhulayo from wanting to partake in the voter registration program. But now to hear more, I also reached out to Nkosikhona Dibiti, who is the spokesperson for Ekhaya Votes 2023, a youth-led organization that is educating the masses on the voter registration program and, of course, the upcoming general elections in 2023. They're predominantly working in the Matabeleland area. Now, let's head over to my conversation with Nkosikhona Dibiti, who updates me on the challenges that the youth are facing and, of course, how things are going with regarding the voter registration program.
Thanks, Mike. As a car walk in pushing for voter registration in this second phase, but we have tried to make sure that we reach out mostly as priority to the area registered voters that are highly likely going to be affected by the delimitation process. So that is where our focus has been. That is in Bulawayo, Mark North, and Mark South. So what we have done is we have done, you know, door-to-door campaigns, like particularly in Bulawayo. We have done roadshows in Bulawayo. We have really packaged information in terms of where people can register to vote and by when, and also try to also engage and answer questions about electoral processes. Also, even Kusasa, Mike, we're going to have Zach on studio at Skies Metro FM, engaging with the citizens, calling in. People will be allowed to call in, send their WhatsApp messages about any electoral questions that they have, because Zach is the official that legislative body that deals with elections in Zimbabwe. But we have tried also, Makaya, to deal with it differently. We are doing soccer tournaments there. We have done one in Caesar South. It's a constituency that is highly likely going to be affected by delimitation, including Matobo South as well. The whole idea for us was to bring young people together and play soccer and also give Zach an opportunity to teach them about civic education. And also, we are happy that Zach actually attended these tournaments and were registering people there and there. For young people with IDs, they were registering in that soccer tournament. So that is the hybrid idea that we've been trying to push and trying to say, okay, for constituencies that have the least registered voters, let them be our focus and let's engage the people, let's teach them, and let's hear what their concerns are.
Nkosikona, thank you again for taking time out to be with us on the show. We always really appreciate your input. The last time we spoke, government had just launched the mobile identification documents drive with the hopes that this will, of course, also benefit the voter registration program. Seeing as though in Zimbabwe we had a lot of young people who were complaining, saying they don't have IDs and so they could not register to vote. President Mnangagwa launched this program with the hopes that when young people get their IDs, they'll also be able to register to vote. Is this what you're seeing as Ekhaya Votes?
Actually, the turnout is more on the ID, accessing identity documents, more and less on the voter registration. Our teams have been doing reports on a daily basis, especially in Blawai, where we are doing dot campaign and engaging with people on a daily basis. The issues that emanate, especially from the younger electorate, is around if we vote, what will happen? If we vote, what are you going to give us? So do we have T-shirts? Things like that. You know, that the conversation has changed, Mike, from the first phase where people were saying we don't have, young people were saying we don't have identification documents like the national ID. But now they have it. They are now looking around incentives. They are now looking around, does this even help? Even if I don't, because our messaging has been simple. We're looking at the nexus between service delivery and elections. But we're looking at it and saying, okay, if we're talking about elections, it's not about the winner of the election. It's about your livelihood, service delivery. But now, as we talk about that, we are also, because our focus has been constituencies that are highly likely going to be affected by the delimitation process. But we're saying delimitation will affect a community. And you hear young people asking you, even if the delimitation happens, I don't know my MP, I don't know my council, I've never met them. So it doesn't matter if the constituency is closed or meshed with another constituency. It doesn't matter because we don't see these people at any point. We don't engage with them at any point. So it's like they don't exist. However, if the constituency is closed, it's still the status quo still remains. So those are the kind of challenges that we've been facing and trying to address also through our voter educators in the field on a daily basis through this phase, second phase. But those are the major concerns. And for those that we have tried to really explain, there are some we have registered to vote. We've been trying to also engage them and also do voice notes, short voice notes about their concerns so that we document these issues that we can then engage with stakeholders such as Zek and say, okay, this is what is happening on the ground. How best can we, you know, package information on electoral participation and its importance, and how do we engage also at political party level in terms of, you know, councillors who are well, MPs who are never seen in the community. How do we deal with such things? Because they're also contributing. They are also contributing factors that we have noted from our work in terms of, you know, civic participation.
Now, speaking of T-shirts, I recently came across a tweet that you guys put out as Ekhaya 23, where you were discussing how you came across some young people in Makwekwe and some other residents of different age groups in Makwekwe. And what they were asking is to be rewarded with T-shirts, alcohol, and milimi umumbu in order for them to register to vote. Tell us more about that, and of course, why these residents wanted to be rewarded for them to, I guess, execute their civic duties.
In our view, you know, Mike, during the by-elections, we also observed that there were political parties that were actually going door-to-door, so you find that it's a precedent that has been set up mostly by political parties or towards elections. People are aware that, you know, elections, we are here, elections, people get to get money, which means as people campaign, they give people food, they buy beer for young people and all those things, give them T-shirts, political regalia, you name it. So that culture has actually been infused in our society such that as we do conduct, you know, civic education, we hear young people mentioning and listing those things that literally they've received before from political institutions, such as, you know, mealy meal, such as beer. you know, you are campaigning for me, I'll give you beer and things like that. So those handouts, that handout culture has been inculcated in our society. And one case really in Makwekwe, where young people bluntly told us that, you know what, what are you going to give us if we go and register to vote? I have my ID here, I can go and collect it from home and go and register, but what's in it for me? What do I get in the media right now? So those are the issues that really become a problem for us to solve, because we are doing civic education and actually empowering an individual to make a decision on who becomes their leader in their local community. And you hear teachers. All we are saying is young people can partake in these processes, but they are used to a different culture. And maybe elections, people will be distributing all these goodies and young people will be enjoying. But unfortunately, the voter registration process will be closed. And it's so sad, Mike, because to hear such a conversation, you don't know where to how to answer that and how to proceed, actually, with the civic education process, because it's difficult. If that's the position of young people in certain society communities, then it becomes difficult, because that messaging, which means it's going to spread across, and we can't objectively say if we buy beer, at least young people register to vote, then which means we have to buy some more for them to actually go out and cast the vote. And it becomes a process that we cannot really control and say we have control over. But these are concerns that we have noted as well. And we are trying to then say, okay, after we are done with this process, we will compile a report and say, okay, this is what is emanating from the communities. How best can this be tackled at a multi-stakeholder approach, Mike, because other stakeholders are providing some of these things. And we as a stakeholder doing voter education, we cannot.
Now, of course, to your point, Nkosi Corner, a lot of political experts blame politicians for this perception that you are talking about, of residents wanting to be rewarded when it comes to partaking in voting. Merely because, as you said, politicians are the ones who, when it come campaign time, they go out with their T-shirts, they go out with utshwala for young people, they go out with meat for some people, and they go out with the T-shirts. And they use this as a tool to court people to go out and vote for them. Now, seeing as though this perception seems to be something that's entrenched within society, how can we court the young people of Zimbabwe and make them understand that it is their civic duty to not only register to vote, but to actually go out and vote without having to be bribed with all these goodies, the T-shirts, the alcohol, the meat, and etc., etc.? What can be done to court the young people to do that?
It's a tough question, Mike. I must say we hope and also wish that as we engage these different stakeholders, we then have a conversation about this. Because what it's doing is, it's not only young people, by the way. Mothers were also saying, "Sningeni poop, give us mealy meal so that we go and cook for the kids." So it also speaks to the economic situation that we have in our country, where anything and everything that is being done, someone is also looking for a little economic benefit, a legal takeaway, so that they can, you know, live for another day and things like that. So the economic situation is such that it's affecting even civic participation. I will also highlight, you know, you talk to informal traders in the markets. They are also highlighting such issues to say, I can't close the market. I can't close my shop and go and register to vote and come back. I'm thinking about the next dollar that I can make. I'm thinking about the next dollar that I can miss when I'm not here and I'm supposed to be here and working and for my sustain my livelihood and things like that. But I think we need to also look at it broadly and say how best can Zimbabwe, whether it's in the politics, whether it's in the economy, whether it's unemployment for young people, you know, Mike, as you go to the communities to do civic education, you never run out of people to talk to, whether the elderly, whether the young people are always at home. if they are not at home, they are in the little shopping centers or vending sites. And there is always people in these residential areas. So the question is, people are struggling, you know, to survive. And how best can we talk about, you know, economic issues and also infuse them to electoral participation? If we're going to say, for example, we're giving out loans to young people, bring a voter registration slip, trust me, many people are going to go to register to vote because there's link to an economic benefit. But we are also saying, as Ekaya, we are wanting to have this nexus on service delivery, on livelihood, and also explain the limitation in the context of, distribution of the national take. But that conversation is too far-fetched. People want the immediate. What can I get now? What will I get now? And it's a problem. And it's a hard problem to solve because it includes a whole ecosystem of stakeholders that continuously offer such things to the electorate year in, year out as a norm. So the community has actually accepted that norm, but it's becoming difficult because for people to be specifically engaged, they need to be paid. They need to be given something. Even a simple something, whether a bottle of water, someone will say, at least you gave me water. Let me go and register that water. So it's a societal issue. It's an economic issue. It's a political landscape issue that needs to be solved so that we have the participation that we require. But the limitation, as this is scheduled in July, under this context, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard.
Now, in closing, Dibidi, you were talking here about including all the stakeholders. I recently had a conversation with another young artist, activist, Umanda Demlotro, who was here in Washington, D.C., and we're talking about democracy. And one thing Mandate highlighted when it came to young people and democracy is the best way to have young people interested or vested in these civic programs. We're talking about the registration. We're talking about going out to actually vote. Is to find a different way of educating them. Mandate was highlighting that, for example, if you're a young person in agriculture, the approach should be making that person in agriculture understand that why is it so important for them to register to vote? How does voting affect their pockets? How does voting affect the agricultural sector? And so that's something that Mandate seems to be was highlighting there, that regardless of the industry that the young people work in, it's important for people to speak their language, to understand that, hey, if I'm in IT, how does registering vote affect my IT business? If I'm in agriculture, how does voting affect my voting business? What is your thoughts on that mindset?
Yeah, it's a conversation that is a conversation that should start now, and not start because there are electoral processes that are about to take place. We have had conversations even as CSOs under the ECHAIA vote banner to say, when we're talking about electoral participation, let's not single it out to electoral participation only. If we're talking to women about doing business, let's augment that to electoral participation or civic participation. Generally, if we're talking to young people and we're talking about employment, we're talking about, you know, different subjects, let's infuse that aspect of civic participation. Let's not isolate it to 5 years later. Let's not isolate it to pre-election all the time. Let's try to augment that into our daily conversation. And things like that. Some would suggest let it be in the educational curricula so that someone can know what civic participation means and how best one can, how does it influence policy, for example? How does it influence their livelihood? How does that influence even how they survive in Zimbabwe and things like that? Because it's so detached mostly to the realities that people face. And most of the time, there's a lot of, you know, discouragement. People come and promise a lot of things and disappear. So people are no longer trusting those processes anymore because it's like people come in the political institutions, promise people and that never happens. And they are coming back again, promise people, until people really feel strongly that, you know, civic participation is so detached from their reality, so detached from their day-to-day struggles, such that even the elected officials might not be tackling the realities that the people face on a daily basis. So we need to, you know, a holistic kind of approach to then say, are citizens in a position to also track, you know, these promises that people give them, and also hold these leaders to account, those who disappear after being elected. They also pin them down to account so that everyone who then promises knows that there are repercussions to it, there are consequences to it, so that no one is just left loose, as it were, and disappear and then come back again with a different individual contesting in the community, and they are promising this and the other issue. So we need to kind of like bring it bring reality to the conversations that we have, because that might, we are having serious issues of reality check as we do civic education. Because we are talking about civic education, someone is telling you about their reality. Can we have meal? We have no food. So how then do you augment that? How then do you bring that together in terms of, you know, looking at civic participation for Zimbabwe as a whole? As you can see, all our electoral participation has become low. Like, you look at even 2018 elections into the 2018 elections, now going into the 2023 elections. But if you look at the by-elections that we had, the turnout was largely low. And we wonder how best we can help people to understand some of these issues outside the polarization, outside the political space that we are in. The challenges that we are facing even as CSOs is the aspect of we share this information. There is a lot of feedback from the communities. So we wish the Zimbabwe electoral, which we are in conversation with, to take these recommendations from the communities more serious. And there is the aspect of as well as using the census to work on the delimitation process, and not to use the number of registered voters, because the census also shows that in these constituencies that are highly likely to be affected by delimitation, but now the issue is around how do we get the people there. And people have caused concerns about, you know, the disputed elections, nothing changes after we vote. You know, it's a hybrid of a situation to keep us on our toes to engage every stakeholder, including political party, to have a bearing on this. But on voter registration particularly, we need to have a decentralized system as voter registration. Voter registration is always continuous, but it's being done very far places, offices, provincial offices, and things like that. At the end of the day, it comes at a cost. Voter registration becomes costly for the ordinary person as they turn 18 years to go to a specific place and register to vote. Others suggest that I'm talking about suggestions, not as civil society, but well, these are the suggestions that we get also from the communities who say, let's do it online. And now we can check that you are registered or not online. Why not register? Have me register online at the comfort of my own home, not having to walk or queue or board a bus to go to a voter registration center or a ZEC office. So those are the kind of conversations that we have. And also addressing the issues of young people, tell you that we have heard so many times that elections do not work in Zimbabwe. So how best can the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission respond to such issues? Of which we have tried also as civil society to engage with ZEC and interface them with the communities themselves so that they can hear for themselves what are the issues that are affecting people that are also contributing to the voter fatigue that we see. I think the voter fatigue at the level where we are right now is, I have not seen such, you know, previously. The fatigue that we have now is extreme. And the question is, what are the contributing factors to that? We think about, you know, electoral, you know, economic issues as well. How do we tackle those economic issues as a country? Is going to work, or people are going to work? It's easy to engage civically in the process. So it's a very comprehensive approach to understand how they fit into the economic revival and things like that.
Well, Mudi Zimbabwe, you heard there from Nkosi Khona Dibithi Sithandubonga Nkosi Khona, siyabonga ngempela kodwa ngongena bohlelo, tinothenda zvikurusa vaNkosi Khona Dibithi nokupinda muchirongwa. Now, early on, Mudi Zimbabwe, I mentioned that tonight, in the second half of the show, we're going to be focusing on the empowerment of the rural woman and, of course, the empowerment of youth. Zimbabwe has several different programs, government-led programs, government-sponsored programs, the target of lifting both the rural women and, of course, the rural youth. But now a local organization, a foundation led by Mr. Jordan Muchenge, the 4-H Foundation, has taken it upon themselves to partner up with the Ministry of Agriculture to start a program that is uplifting both the youth and the rural women. So let's head over to my conversation with Mr. Jordan Muchenge to hear more about the works of the 4-H Foundation.
As an organization in 4-H Zimbabwe, we have got an MOU with the Minister of Agriculture, which seeks to empower the rural youth in agriculture, including the women. So for now, we are working with the Ministry in promoting what we call indigenization, climate smart resilience farming methods in the rural sector. We have done training in Chirumanzi district, in Marsh West, which is in Urungwe West, and also in this week, Friday, will be in Seke rural district, capacitating rural young women in terms of our own local and less expensive innovations that we have in farming, which is including also Pumbuza, growing of small grains, and also sustainable land agricultural management systems, which include the soil nutrition management, something which is local and indigenous.
Mr. Muchenge, I've spoken to several experts who highlight that across the whole African continent, in Zimbabwe included, women occupy a majority of the space when we're talking about the agricultural sector. However, are the least paid and also own the least amount of land. So what is your organization doing to, fix that issue that has been brought to hand by experts?
Thank you very much. Just to start with what we are doing in Urungwe, where we have in the process of establishing about 8 women-led community gardens, what we call nutrition gardens. What we have done was engage the local leadership, which is the chief headman, to give us land as an organization, but that land will belong to the women. So we have put the women in groups of 50 per garden, which is about 400 women that we are directly impacting in Urungwe, where this community garden will now belong to the women. So in that way, women are now owning this piece of land where we are going to put them with the make sense to do a single bowl, put the drip irrigation and tanks and give them startup to start their own enterprise. So in that system that we are doing, the land now that we are being given by the local chief now belongs to the community, which is the women as groups.
Mm-hmm. And in such situations, are you prioritizing young women or just women in general? How is this program working?
Our organization is a youth organization. So our target is youth. So we are now blending them with some which are non-youth. But the 50% of the beneficiaries, what you want to achieve, make sure that they are below 35. Yes.
Now, Mr. Muchenge, we've had you on this program several times talking about government-led programs that target empowering the youth. We're talking about the Empowerment Bank. We've had you talking about the HEPA program and other programs. Now, Zimbabwean youth, several youth, regardless of the fact that these programs are available to help them, have come onto this program, and they've highlighted that they still, to this date, have no, next to no information regarding the Empowerment Bank, next to no information regarding the HEFA program that you have told us about. So I'm a little curious in terms of what more can be done to reach out to these young people so that they have more knowledge pertaining to these programs that are there. Here we're talking about the empowerment program. Here we're talking about the HEPA program. What can be done to ensure that more young people have knowledge on these information so that more young people can participate in these programs?
I think what we need more to do is around information dissemination. Like I said, that we are targeting all eight provinces. We have removed the rain and the because they are metropolitan, they are towns in nature. So we are targeting three rural districts in each province. So we are working in partnership with the Minister of Agriculture, the Empower Bank, Feed Houses, like for example, Cisco, and Gender. So like I said before, that in terms of the information dissemination, the flow of the information, I think there's need for an improvement there to make sure that the information for the programs that we are doing, like for example, the one we are having in Seke on Saturday, on the 20th of Saturday, which is the 30th of April, we are going to have one in Rose. So what we have done is worked with the DA and the advocates so to make sure that the information is disseminated to all the young people, especially the women that are around the community area that we are working with. Make sure that they come in numbers and then we capacitate others so that as a team. So I think what we need to improve there, like you said, is on the information dissemination, how we disseminate our information to make sure that it reaches a wider people in Zimbabwe.
Now, Mr. Mchenge, I also understand your program is working alongside the Empowerment Bank to educate Zimbabwean youth on financial literacy, which I guess our target is to make sure that more young people are financially literate, they can access loans better, and they can also better run their businesses. Tell us more about this program that you're running alongside the Empowerment Bank.
Recently, we had one in Chiruman. So what we want to do, we in as much as we want to impact our farmers with the farming skills, farming knowledge, and stuff, there's also need there's an aspect of financial management within their own enterprise. Even if it's your small plot, you need to make sure that what has been put on the land, if I bought any surplus or any profit, proper management of this finance. So what we've done is we've incorporated in part on our trainings for the farmers to make sure that they get the much needed general or just a learning the financial management skills. Just literally keep the books of accounts, just record. If you check, we're also running the same program with Award, where we're awarding the best farmer, where you've done well. The first thing that you're looking for is the record keeping. The farmer should be able to have a small book where you just put notes, but I planted my maize for the 7th of December, I put 10 days of tea, I put it for the purpose of maintaining the records and also evaluating and calculating the profit of it, but want to put the concept of agribusiness within the farmer. So I think it's quite important that each and every farmer wants to practice his business, make sure to ensure that am I making profit or a loss, and also proper management of his finances. Because you know the problem with farmers, the moment you store your maize, you just use the whole money, forgetting that next year I also want to go to business. So also need to talk them about financial planning, financial management, financial integrity, and the stuff. So that's why we have been working the important to assist us on that part.
Now, let me take you back a couple of steps and go back to the discussion of young people participating in government-led programs. Now, there seems to be this understanding that's been highlighted time and time again here on our program that young people in Zimbabwe feel as though government-led programs are only benefiting ZANU-PF members and people that are in close proximity to the ruling party. Now, this belief has pushed a lot of young people away from participating in government-led programs, merely because, A, some of them are non-partisan, and others may be opposition supporters. And so, in their mind, whenever it's a government-led program, one would, there is ZANU. So I'm a little curious in terms of what people like yourselves can do towards changing that narrative so that youth of all spheres can benefit from these programs.
My like I was on this program, telling people that there is a difference between the political party and the government program. We at OEM Zimbabwe, we are running a program with, for youth for peace, where we are saying youth is the agent for peace in their community. We are doing it with all political parties, but we started with many political parties for now, which is ZANU-PF, CCC, and MDC. that our programs are non-partisan. They don't select anyone. So, for example, when we are going around the world to participate young women on the indigenized conservative farming, climate resilient farming method, we are not targeting any particular part, but we are targeting the rural young women that are prone or vulnerable to the global warming that is being experienced in the world. So we need to remove the mentality of saying, of labeling a government or attaching a government to a political party. Because the government is made up of all the bubbles, not made up of a political party. So I think that is not in the heads of many. But if there is a government program that is being attached by the government to the youth, let's also take that opportunity to grab and utilize them. I've been telling people about the 500 hectares of land that was allocated by Italy to the youth in Zimbabwe. I was telling them, let's go and participate and form ourselves, put ourselves in hubs and benefit. At the same time, there's about 700 acres that were put by the president in the youth in Zimbabwe. These cattle, the government, the president didn't give to a part, but they gave to the youth in a community. So we need also to participate in this program and also benefit. Because the government funds, they are meant to benefit every public. It's not selected in the political fund.
All right, Mr. Mchenje, let me hold you there for a couple of minutes. Let me translate everything we've been saying for our audience. And when I come back to you, we're going to be wrapping up in Shona. Yebo kambe zulukandaba wonke umuntu engenayo kuhlelo siyakwamukela kuhlelo lwethu labasakhulayo sikhuluma nje kuhlelo silomnumzana uJohn Mchenje ingcwethi kwezokulima sikhangela uhlelo lwabo olujonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo kanye labomama abasemaphandleni. Uyachasisa ngempela uMchenje ukuthi hayi ngempela balalo uhlelo olujonge ukuthuthukisa abomama labasakhulayo abasemaphandleni, bebanikeza ulwazi oluthile mayelana ngenhlelo ezikhona elizweni, abo-Empowerment Bank, abo-Women Bank, abo-Agriculture Bank, ukuthi bona bengayenzani ukuze bayenelise ukuthola ukuba yingxenye yohlelo zikahulumende ezijonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasemaphandleni, kakhulukazi abakwezokulima. Ngimbuzile ngempela umnumzana Mchenje ukuthi hayi uhlelo lolu luzathuthukisa njani abasakhulayo kanye labo mama. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi hayi into yokuqala bazathola hatshi ulwazi kuphela but even i-equipment efunakalayo ukuze bayenelise ukuqhuba umsebenzi wabo kahle, bazathola amasimu lapho bazayenelisa ukuyenza umsebenzi wabo belima khona. Sithintile udaba lokuthi bakhona abomama abaningi emaphandleni abakhala besithi hayi bayasebenza gadalala kodwa i-land ownership dololo abantu abesifazane kuthiwa hayi yibo abalutshwane ngempela who have access to i-land. So uMchenje uyasho ngempela ukuthi uhlelo lwabo lujonge ukutshintsha izinto ezinjalo. Ngiphinde ngambuza njalo ukuthi siyezwa ikakhulukazi abantu abasakhulayo abaningi bekhala besithi inhlelo zikahulumende zikhanye ngani zithuthukisa abantu abayingxenye yebandla lezanu PF kanye with all of the people abalobudlelwano labantu abezanu PF. Yena uMchenje uyasho hayi lokhu akusilona iqiniso. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi udubo olukhona is ukuthi abantu abaningi abafuni ukuba yingxenye yalezi nhlelo ngenxa yokuthi balo mbono onjalo. So nxa umuntu esekele ibandla eliphikisayo yena akasafuni ukuba yingxenye yohlelo lolu ngenxa yokuthi ngombono wakhe ubona ngani uhlelo lukahulumende lujonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abezanu PF kuphela. Kodwa yena uyakuphika khonokho esithi akusilona iqiniso. Uyakhuthaza njalo wonke umuntu ukuthi zama ngamandla akho wonke ukungena ukuba yingxenye yalezi nhlelo. Uyasho ngempela even uhlelo lwabo lolu uyasho ngempela ukuthi bakhangele ukuthuthukisa wonke umuntu kungelani lokuthi usekela ibandla liphi, kungelani lokuthi ungumuntu omnyama, what age, cultural background akulandaba. Uyasho ngempela ukuthi bona njengenhlanganiso bakhangelele ukuthuthukisa wonke umuntu ongisakhulayo, wonke umuntu owesifazana osemaphandleni. So uMchenje uphinde njalo wathinta esithi uhlelo lolu baza kuvehlelana ngogatsha olukhangela ngezokulima, i-Ministry of Agriculture. So to do that, baza besebenza ndawonye abenikeza abantu ulwazi oluthile abesebenzisa ama radio stations besebenzisa njalo ama community leaders ukuze alabo ba spread the information ngalezi nhlelo ukuze wonke umuntu ayenelise ukuba yingxenye yalolu hlelo. So that's my conversation with umnumzana John Muchenje Zulukanda. Babhalani imibono yenu ngohlelo lolu olujonge ukuthuthukisa abantu abasakhulayo kanye labo mama abasemaphandleni. Bamchenje, over to you now on that.
Complementing efforts the women to promote and encourage no food here, but in the middle of the matter, the other. Papa, there's no one that wanted to be that. The parents knew Rungwe West Road, who was to be at no age, my solar powered community garden. I know my garden, and then I know my mind, but it's 50-50. Snow wire, something like Borani, Tesamas.
Vamchenje chakunzwa imuchi bata nzvimbo dzakasiyana siyana uku kwamuri kuita chirongwa chenyu. Pane zvamakarongera vechidiki vekumatevelende.
Kuti tibva kuhurungwe wezvakanaka kuzvima rurozi. Tokwanisa kuenda korona dzakambobata kuhurungwe tikapapa tenda kumatevelende because we are targeting the southern part of Zimbabwe. The impact of Mashwet, the impact of Manicaland, Masungo, Midland, Matibillan, North and South, Kunoreko, Abnot Madre, which is for the most women, Munoms Nonam, Rashom, Zimbabwe, Kapore.
Chinonzo Amat, my Anusha Shokuri, Maganukara, Mami Shoko, Vachi Chema, Nenya Ekushaya, Mikana Ekusimuzira. Ziz of Makatarisra Kuita, Sangano. Rinechinongwa chakanangana nekusimudzira madzimai pamwe chete nevechidiki.
Tokutanga ndevekuti pana mbotaura nemagadheni atikupita kuhurungwe takakumbira leni kubva kumaleaders edu atoti matraditional leaders macommunity traditional leaders anosanganisira maminista namadzimambo kana sabhuku tobva tapiwa mahwanisa atikudaiwai totiri kuti mahwanisa tisa kuti ngaave ari mumaoko emadzimai. In that respect, one of the owners of the mastermind. Then, secondly, had to push on here to see land must be given to my youth. So, could be 50% in front of the mastermind, let's gender balance. Like you said, to see Mazmai Mashoma, one of the work on the land ownership. But so, organization, any way, no mirror for the mastermind, no more politics, you cover me as a good year. This is one thing they said to Buddha. At 50% are man from my Arkwan Minda. One in the country,
I want to go and do a Kanana Koma change and I can broke from Kandema Shop and your pet Sira Murimura. Well, thank you there, Mr. Mchenje. For our non-speaking audience, could you kindly draw your last sentiments?
Thank you very much. I think just to start by, we are dealing with the informing talk. We are doing them in partnership with the Minister of Agriculture, So we are in contact with the provincial agencies, the appropriate agencies, with the Ministry of Agriculture, and also the District Ministry of Agriculture, and also our office, we are in Harare, and the people that can get hold of us on our website, Point Bamba Foundation, they can see the posters that will be posted us on this day, we are in this province, and this day we are in this district. And then also live with their, like I said before, live with their local advocate officer, because we are doing this program in partnership with the Ministry of Agriculture. But at this, whenever we are telling the people, we are complementing the efforts of the government. The government has already rolled out some motorbikes and capacitated the advocates to make sure that they also monitor some of the work that are being monitored. Then in terms of the youth peace engagement program, I think quite a number of people can also get hold of their own youth leader. For example, in Zanzibar, we have got some of the lecturer who at CCC, we have got the commander, Celia Kimbiri, and then at the MVCC, we have got youth assembly leader, who is the Honorable Yvonne Musaro. So the, from the program that we are doing with the youth, we are doing quite a number of programs. They are supporting our CCC, they also get hold of their leaders, and then they will show them when and when are we doing it.
As we wrap up, you heard them, Mr. Mchenje, talking about the Pumbudza program. Now, some people don't really have much knowledge on what the Pumbudza program is and why it's so helpful, particularly in a country like Zimbabwe. So let's head over to a report that was recently done by VOA correspondent Columbus Mavunga, who talks more about the Pumbudza program and why Zimbabwean farmers are turning to it.
Zimbabwe is hoping to one day regain its former title as the breadbasket of Southern Africa. 52-year-old George Nyamakawa is one of millions of farmers authorities are training under a UN-backed program called Fumvuza. Fumvuza, which means early shoots in Shona, is a method of conservation agriculture that focuses on small plots, retains water longer, and is more efficient than large-scale plowing.
It is easy to maintain. At the same time, it gives more food to the nation.
UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, FAO, has trained government officials on the method to help combat food shortages that have plagued Zimbabwe for over a decade. Zimbabwe's government has touted the program as a possible food security solution. But the UN's World Food Program knows it is still providing food aid to about 8 million Zimbabweans, more than half the population.
I think it will take a bit more time to really work towards zero hunger and eradicate the problem altogether.
Early shoots farming has its limitations, says Mandiramba Rukuni, a former agriculture economics professor who now directs a charity focused on farming innovation.
The main one is it's very labor intensive. And Zimbabwe, like most other countries, labor is becoming more and more scarce, especially in rural areas. People are moving to urban areas.
Farmers like Nyamakawa say are willing to do the extra work if the yields are higher and if they can count on authorities for support. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare.
Well, Maria Zimbabwe, you heard there from our VOA correspondent at Columbus, Mavunga, Siyabonga Ngempela, Mavunga, for that report. Bona ndoba namhlanje sakaza umshe Zimbabwe umshe sesifikile emaphutholeni ohlelo lwethu lwabasakhulayo muri Zimbabwe chashika akumagumo echironga chedu cha nasi regainstore mkhana izo chokwadi mukutenda vankosi khona DVD mthauri wesangano re ekhaya votes at 2023 tinotenda zvikare kuna va John Mchenje who took out time to be with us pano pachironga chedu chevechidiki and also earlier on muri Zimbabwe when we started off our conversation. You heard there from young people who were speaking during a discussion on the voter registration democracy discussion led by the National Movement of Catholic Students in Zimbabwe. But once again, to watch that full discussion, head over to their Facebook page. It's an interesting hour-long discussion. So, Maria Zimbabwe, that's our show for tonight. Lina Kuti Njalo Zulugandaba. Kumbegela pambili. Lifitizela lapayo kubalo kutishe. For those that are looking to chat with me, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at @MikeHove_ is the username. Let's meet at same time and same place. Pano Panepeyire Studio 7 and next week, Maria Zimbabwe. Anokonekainemfaro, I go by the name of Mike Hove. Zimbabwe Moshe. Bye-bye.